We got Richard Justice with us right now here on ESPN 97.5 MLB Zone, joining us here to talk about our Astros in Houston and all across the Lone Star State. Richie, how are you doing, man?
I'm pretty good. How are you guys doing? You think Lance will get them to break down the tape on the crime?
About the hips and the, yeah, how he, right, how well he wielded the knife. Yeah.
Right. This guy couldn't have done it. He doesn't go to his right.
He doesn't have the hip flexibility.
Yeah, no, he doesn't. No, he doesn't have that ability. No. Look how stiff-legged he is. Richard Justice here, and our team is so good right now. Yep. So we have to talk about our club. Yep. The first 10-0 trip, 11 straight wins, and it's all coming together right now. Well, almost all coming together right now, Richie. This team is after a sluggish kind of a start, this is what we thought they would be. Of course, look at who they're playing, though. When they played the Red Sox, Yankees, and the Indians, they scuffled a little bit. But that's how it's supposed to be, right?
Yeah. They were 6-7 in that tough stretch, and then they started a stretch of 36 in a row with teams with losing record, and they're 10-0 on that 36 in a row. They beat Seattle to end that one. And now Seattle goes on a trip. Now they start tomorrow on a trip to Yankee Stadium, Fenway Park, and to Baltimore. So they're in for a little tough sledding. I mean, all the forecasts are the Astros are still going to win the AL West by 10 games. And what's happened is they've gotten the bullpen straightened out. Ken Giles is not the closer anymore. Rondon hasn't allowed a run in a month. And Gattis is the hottest hitter in baseball. Now, John, the interesting part is they're back home. They score two more runs a game on the road. They got the best road record in baseball. They're like ninth or 10th in home winning percentage. So that's a little bit of a challenge. But they're coming home and they're playing the Rays. They're playing the Royals, and they're playing the Blue Jays. It ought to be a good homestand.
So, Richard Justice with us here on ESPN 97.5. All right, let's ask some tough questions. What do you do with Dallas Keuchel?
I'm working on that right now. This is going to laugh at this, but his start in Arlington was the unluckiest start of any pitcher this year. He had only three hard-hit balls. Now, some of that's location. When you hit a soft-hit ball through the shift, that tells you you weren't locating the ball in the right place. He's frustrated. I think what you do is you play the schedule, you play the standings, and you see if you can get him turned around. Obviously, if the playoffs started today, I mean, if they would go Verlander, Cole, Morton, McCullers, and Dallas. I don't know what role Dallas would be, and it's more enticing because McHugh has pitched so well. Now, when Gattis stunk, when Marwin stunk, Reddick stunk, A.J. Hinch would say, I know my club better than anybody. And he never wavered in faith in those guys. In fact, you know, even in private conversations, I would say, like, what are you going to do when Reddick comes back? And he'd go, what am I going to do? I'm going to put him out in right field. I'm going to play him every day. That's what I'm going to do. And so, you know, like the best example was, George Springer struck out four times in Game 1 of the World Series. Hey, you're going to bench him. You're going to move him down. You can't just, you know, you can't just go with what's not working. And the noise was so loud that he actually reached out to George and said, "It's just noise. I believe in you. You're one of the reasons we're here, et cetera." So I guess my answer is I trust AJ on this, but Dallas does need to be better. On the other hand, I don't think he has stunk as bad as some of the numbers look.
What's his value as far, or at least his standing in that clubhouse? Their seniority, we know the Cy Young from, 3 years ago or so now. How has he looked at in that clubhouse? And would there be a shift if he was a guy who got demoted from the starting role?
Well, first of all, how he's looked at in the clubhouse, you know, those of us on the outside are never going to know that. What I know about the clubhouse is it changed from the moment Verlander arrived in terms of the pitchers. He set a different – Brian McCanna said this on the record. He said he just set a different standard for everybody in terms of expectations. And when you think about it, you know, they started last year and you kind of would see Keuchel, McCullers at the front of the rotation. Now it's three different guys because given the way Morton has pitched. But I think the one thing they have in that clubhouse is, and this is the not surprising but pleasant part of winning a championship, you wonder if the camaraderie and the cohesiveness and the aggressiveness and the fun, just the fun. You look at their dugout and you go, God, I'd like to be down there. Those guys are having some fun. They haven't lost any of that. So I don't think it matters. I think they trust the manager enough to do what's right for the club, and you go from there. And I think the one thing he tries to sell every day is it's about us, it's not about me, it's not about you, and that everything I do, and this is what separates managers, is what I believe is in the best interest of the club. The way he has handled Ken Giles has been amazing in that, you know, Giles had a couple of bad games in April, and AJ called him in and said, you're going to have to trust me on this. No, I'm sorry. Giles went in and was not happy, and he said, because he had let Peacock finish a game, and he said, you're going to have to trust me on this. You had a bad October. We cannot allow this to spill into a bad April because that creates all sorts of negative stuff around the club. So you just trust me. And I think maybe along the way what he's figured out is maybe Ken, right now at least, is better pitching the eighth instead of the ninth.
We all feel that way. If you want
well,
to know
you know, guys, you know. There are guys that are different like that. Bill Wagner always said, you kind of got to be an idiot to pitch the ninth inning. You got to have no memory. Like, whatever, you know, when Billy Wagner got to Philadelphia, he gave up a three-run homer to lose the game early, and the writers couldn't believe he was standing in front of his locker, and he said, well, if I give up another one, I'll be standing here tomorrow because I probably will give up another one at some point. And it's just that what he told Brad Lidge after giving up the Pujols home run was, it's not what you did last night. It's what you're going to do tonight and how you react to it. And so closer is a different sort of mentality. On the other hand, Giles' stuff is so good that it's just a matter of, you got to just, rebuild him, give him a chance to rebuild and go from there.
Yeah, that's that Lidge gave up the home run to a guy who hadn't hit any homers after that.
Right,
yeah.
The guy that got no intentional walks that postseason.
Right. We got Richard Justice here with us on ESPN 97.5. Call your shot right now. At the end of the year, the Astros will be more inclined to sign Charlie Morton than Dallas Keuchel.
Yes.
Yeah, I agree with that.
Yeah, look, Morton's going to – they tried to sign Dallas after the Cy Young year. Didn't work out. In all these things, you have to make decisions on who you can keep and who you can't keep. They were so aggressive in trying to sign Charlie. Charlie went into free agency 18 months ago thinking, nobody thinks I'm going to be able to stay healthy. I may not even get a major league contract. The Astros were so aggressive, and they believed that they had something – could get something special out of him, that he told his agent, hey, don't negotiate with anybody else. This club really wants me. So we'll see. But I wouldn't rule anything out, you know. I mean, there's a great affection for what Dallas has done here. When Jeff Luno got to Houston, when Brett Strom got to Houston, one of the first things Luno told him was, hey, that left-hander down there that nobody thinks is going to be any good, go keep an eye on him. I think he's got a chance to be good. So this club and Dallas have been good for each other, and he's contributed a lot here.
Richie, Mariznick is the bane of John's existence. Every time he sees him up there, he freaks out. And I imagine, at least for people who watch, the answer would be Tony Kemp. Every time Tony Kemp seems to be in the lineup, things go well for the Astros. And for him, he doesn't play every day. Is he a player that eventually can solidify himself as a guy, no matter what the matchup is, that's in that lineup?
Oh, I think they look at him as an everyday player now. You know, especially against right-handed pitching. I still think you want to try to get the best out of Jake because Jake can give you something as a guy to come in and run the bases or play defense and center. But I think Kemp's an impact player. I think during this win streak, I think he's hitting like 380 or something during the win streak. I think they intend to play him a lot, but, you know, always. But against left-handed pitching, you're going to see AJ try to throw all right-handed hitters out there, and with the way Stassi's playing, he can do that.
Yeah. Richard Justice with us here on ESPN 97.5. Will AJ take Morton, Cole, and Verlander to the All-Star game?
Isn't that amazing that we're having that conversation? Who would have thought it? The Houston Astros. Well, Altuve is the only position player that is guaranteed of going. And I think you want to be sure you want to give your guys the home field advantage. So I think it's going to depend on the way Charlie pitches the rest of the way. But I think Cole and Verlander are slam dunks. And I would think that Verlander will start the game, although you know, that comes down to pitching the rest and all that toward the end.
Yeah, if Morton can, you know, he's starting to show a little bit of vulnerability, but if Morton continues and he's got his ERA in the threes, I could see AJ rewarding him, no, for that, for
oh,
game seven.
God. You know, for a guy, he can just go up and down his body on all the surgeries. This hip surgery, that hip surgery, tore the hamstring off the bone, Tommy John, this. And, I mean, he didn't know if he would, if his body would ever allow him to get to this point. And he came here. As soon as he heard that Gerrit Cole was coming here, he called Gerrit Cole and said, man, you are going to love it here in terms of the scouting reports and the way they prepare you for games and the way this pitching coach is and the way this manager is and the environment in the clubhouse. You're going to love it. I mean, I think he feels like he's died and gone to heaven. This is the way he always dreamed baseball could be. And to reward that guy with an all-star appearance, I mean, that's the coolest story ever. Because he had a reputation as a guy, great stuff, but he just keeps getting hurt. And he understands that.
Yeah. And he is, you talk to him, he is the most, every time he speaks to you, it just seems like he's, you know, so sincere. And, right. and he's so thoughtful about everything that he says. He's a really neat guy.
Yeah, and one of the things the PR staff warned me about is that when you talk to him, the first time you meet him, he pauses.
Mm-hmm.
Because he's thinking about his answer. He goes, he's not done talking, don't interrupt him. He's one of those rare guys that he listens to your question and he thinks. He is true. I don't know that they have a nicer guy in that clubhouse. But part of the appeal of the team is like guys like Correa and Altuve and Springer. I mean, you just look at those guys and you go, I'm glad they're representing our city.
Absolutely. No, I did that plenty because, you know, I got the microphone and I thought he was done and I pulled it back right. And then he could continue to talk and I put it back in his face again. I was like, oh my God, you have to wait. And you don't know whether or not he's done.
Oh, and he is really smart, really thoughtful. But, you know, he's a taller guy and sometimes his mechanics get thrown off. I thought they might give him a start off because he knew what he was doing. But it's not that easy to fix on the fly, you know, guys get screwed up sometimes. I had a pitcher, a Cy Young Award winner, came off the mound once and goes, today I forgot how to pitch out of the stretch. It happens. It's a, you know, like one of the things when Correa has struggled, when Altuve has struggled, AJ gets irritated. And you know, one of the things he said about Altuve is, you guys don't get it. It's not normal what he's doing. To get 200 hits every year, most of us had trouble getting 200 for our career. And I think that's why the players like him, because he understands the game is hard.
Now, okay, that said, last thing, Correa, though. We saw yesterday the eighth inning home run, and that started it, and the Astros won because of it. But he is not living up to the grand expectations. Are the expectations too much?
No. I mean, he is, how old is he? He's 23. I think he's going to be... you ask anyone in the game, if you had a draft of the Astros, I'm pretty sure, just position players, he would be the first pick. He's got a chance to be one of the best players ever. And you're going to go through, the game is going to adjust to you, you're going to go through tough times, and you're going to have to adjust. I just think there's so much. I mean, he's got an 855 OPS. That's better. That's below, almost 100 points below last year. But he's gonna, when the season's done, he's gonna end up with 30 homers and 30 doubles. And yeah, you know, I think the guy is really special. But you know, is he gonna get three hits every day? No. You know, I mean, it's not natural what he's doing, but he's a great player.
Yeah, no, I agree. I just wondered if we're just expecting too much.
Well, no, I mean, look, when you look at the shortstop, you know. When you look at shortstop in baseball right now, Seager in L.A. is one of the great players we've ever seen. Francisco Lindor is a great player in Cleveland. And now Manny Machado is back playing shortstop. There's never been this talent level at shortstop in baseball before. And he's right there in the conversation with those guys. You talk to talent evaluators because when they look at him and they watch him swing and all that and they see his charisma and all that. I mean, I don't know between the four of them. Machado would be the first pick. He's only 26 years old, but boy, people love Correa, and I love watching him play.
Absolutely. That's Richard Justice right here on ESPN 97.5, MLB.com, and you can see him on MLB TV as well. Richard, thanks for joining us. We appreciate it, man.
Thank you, John.
All right, there he is, Richard Justice right here on ESPN 97.5.